Peter and Jane Guest are going to come and read to us from God's Word, first from Psalm 127, and then words of Jesus found in Matthew 6.
Psalm 127. If the Lord does not build the house, the work of the builders is useless. If the Lord does not protect the city, it is useless for the sentries to stand guard. It is useless to work so hard for a living, getting up early and going to bed late, for the Lord provides for those he loves while they are asleep. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. The sons a man has when he is young are like arrows in a soldier's hand. Happy is the man who has many such arrows. He will never be defeated when he meets his enemies in the place of judgment.
Jesus said, "This is why I tell you not to be worried about the food and drink you will need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food, and isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not sow seeds, gather a harvest, or put it in barns. Your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you, like, live a bit longer by worrying about it? And why worry about your clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth and wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass. Grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burnt up in an oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? How little faith you have. So do not start worrying. Where will my food come from, or my drink, or my clothes? These are the things the pagans are always concerned about. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you. And he will provide you with all these other things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let's pray. Psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path." Father God, we pray that that may again be our experience as we focus on what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Has it ever occurred to you that God and religion are not one and the same thing? Frankly, if God was simply concerned about religion, then I think we may as well shut up shop. For religion is about church, whereas God is about life. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that there is a place for church. I wouldn't be a Christian minister if I didn't think that the church was important. But God did not send his Son into the world that we might go to church. God sent his Son into the world that we might have life. Indeed, Jesus himself once said, "I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness." And Jesus wasn't just speaking of life beyond the grave, but life in the here and now. Yes, as Christians, we're not into religion. We're into life. We're into life before death, and not just after death. And our experience teaches us that God can make all the difference now. So with that thought in mind, let's turn to Psalm 127, where the psalmist says, first of all, that God can make a difference to family life. He says, if the Lord does not build the house, the work of the builders is useless. Psalmist here is not speaking about a building project, but rather of raising a family. Indeed, later on he says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. The sons a man has when he is young are like arrows in a soldier's hand. Happy is the man who has many such arrows. Well, what do you think about that? The more the merrier. You know, I used to have black hair before I had kids. Mark Twain once said, when a child turns 13, stick him in a barrel, nail the lid on top, and feed him through a hole. And when he turns 16, plug up the hole. Let's be honest, children can be a pain. Although I guess some children might say parents can be a pain too. And there's nothing new, of course, about problems in family life. Just think of all the pain that David knew with his son Absalom. And yet, the psalmist could still regard children as being a blessing. Why was that? Well, for the psalmist, the reason was obvious. A man blessed with children, he says in verse 5, will never be defeated when he meets with his enemies in the place of judgment. Sounds a bit weird to us, does it not? But remember, in the ancient world, it made all the difference to have your family around you when you went to court. Because justice wasn't always meted out fairly. And widows and orphans had a hard time in standing up for their rights. It was with this thought in mind that children are likened to arrows in a soldier's hand. And the underlying principle is this: children are meant to be the front line of the God-ordained defense for the family in times of need. Children can and should support their parents. And incidentally, when he was speaking of children, he wasn't speaking of the under-11s or the under-18s. He had particularly in mind those in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s. And certainly when the Bible tells us to honor our parents, the Bible hasn't just got young children in mind, but all those of us who still have parents. And I believe that one of the great scandals of British society is the way in which so many adult children fail to take responsibility for their parents. And I know particularly our African members here find it most strange that we do not care for our elderly relatives. Children, says the psalmist, are a real blessing. But, as some of us know to our cost, the mere fact of having children is no guarantee of future happiness. And that's why we mustn't separate verses 3 to 5 from verse 1. If the Lord does not build the house, the work of the builders is useless. And the psalmist is trying to say, God is the secret to happy family life. God makes a difference. And so we need to make room for God in our family lives. Now, there's no one way in which we do that. So much depends at what stage our children have reached. I hope that from time to time you are reading Bible stories to your children, teaching them perhaps to say grace, encouraging them to come and worship God here every Sunday. Later, it'll mean encouraging them to come along to youth activities, even if it means that you've got to turn out and drop them off and then pick them up. It means assuring that there are times in the week when the whole family eat together. I think if we simply eat watching the television, we are failing to fulfill our God-given responsibilities. Because it's when we sit and eat together that we can talk about those issues that really matter as far as our children are concerned. We can talk about money, sex, drink, and all those kinds of things. To attempt to raise a family without God's help is folly. And a home without God is asking for trouble. The rabbis used to say, a child has three parents, God in addition to father and mother. In other words, without God, there is no such thing as a complete family. Secondly, God can make a difference to work life. Now, perhaps for some of you, work is a fairly stress-free occupation. Work is simply what you do between 9 and 5 with a decent lunch break in between. Is that it? The reality is that for many of us, work today is incredibly stressful. It can be stressful because work is not secure, is it? It can be stressful, particularly for those who commute. I mean, there you are, Chelmsford Station by 7 o'clock, and many of you are not back before 7. And that's if the trains are running on time. It's a tough life working today. But of course, it was equally tough in ancient society. True, there was no commuting, but then there was no such thing as a 37-hour week with 5 weeks of paid holiday, together with all the other benefits that we enjoy. Earning a living from the land was tough. And in such a context, the psalmist wrote, it is useless to work so hard for a living, getting up early and going to bed late. Now, he wasn't having a go at work itself. The psalmist accepted that we all need to work. But he was having a go at those who allow work to totally take over their lives. He was speaking against the so-called workaholics. It's useless, he says, for the Lord provides for those he loves while they are asleep. In other words, for those who have entrusted their lives to God's safe keeping, God will work on their behalf, even while they are resting. Of course, we can see the truth of this in an agricultural economy. While the farmer was asleep, God might be watering the ground, causing the crops to grow. But I believe that this is also true in a 21st century urban community. The Lord provides for those he loves while he sleeps. And didn't, in a sense, Jesus say the same thing? When he was saying to his followers, don't worry about food and drink and clothes. Put God first. Put the kingdom first. Overtime and worry won't necessarily solve any problem. You'll only end up with a heart attack or with an ulcer. What is needed is, having done an honest day's work, to trust God to provide. The Lord provides for those he loves while they are asleep. Actually, some versions speak of God giving sleep to his beloved. And I believe that to be true too. Those who trust God can know the sleep of a good conscience, of contentment, of freedom from anxiety. God could make a difference to work life. And finally, perhaps most relevantly for many of us today, God can make a difference to our national life. These last 2 weeks have been dreadful weeks for our country, have they not? We have been stunned by what we have seen of the breakdown of civil society in parts of our country. I know this is in part a political issue, but I believe that Tony Blair is wrong in today's Observer to say that there is nothing wrong with our country, as I understand he said. I believe Cameron is right in saying that we are living in a broken society and things need to be put right. And in that context, we need to heed the words of the psalmist. If the Lord does not protect the city, it is useless for the sentries to stand guard. The psalmist is here asserting that when it comes to life in our towns and our cities and our communities, the spiritual dimension is ultimately what counts. And I believe that one underlying reason as to why our country is in such a mess is that we as a country have turned our backs upon God, and from that have flowed so many other ills. Today we live for ourselves and go our own way, and we're now paying the consequences. There's so much that can be said at this stage. But just remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 33. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. If the Lord, Psalm 127 says, if the Lord does not protect the city, it is useless for the centuries to stand guard. Alas, few of our leaders and opinion makers are prepared to take God seriously. The reality is that political parties today are to a large extent motivated by power rather than by principle. And the media is more about entertainment than about truth. Okay, we may disagree about the way in which Christian principles should be applied to life. Politically, we are a mixed bag. Some of us here believe the coalition are doing a good job. Others believe that they're doing an appalling job. But we can agree at least on this, that God must come first, that religion cannot be separated from the world of politics, nor can it be separated from the world of entertainment or indeed of work. It cannot be separated from any area of our national life. And unless we allow the Lord to protect the city, then it's useless for the centuries to stand guard. Unless we as a nation are prepared to take God seriously, then we shouldn't be surprised to see our society disintegrate. But if we were to take God seriously, if we were to include him in our national life, he could make such a difference. So to return to where I began, God and religion are not one and the same thing. God wants us to experience life in all its fullness. But we can only experience the difference that God makes if we make room for him in our lives, whether it be in our homes, in our work, or in our national life. We need to include God. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, as we have so fleetingly thought about the home and work and national life, we are conscious that in some ways we are just touching upon issues. And we recognize that family life, that work, national life can be exceedingly complex. And yet, Father, help us too to recognize the underlying principle that you make all the difference. Oh God, help us not just to keep you for Sundays, but to allow you to make all the difference in our home lives, our work lives, and in the life of our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.